Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Inspire small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you. And you're going to be glad you did because of our good friend, Bill Hallal. William Hallal is professor emeritus at George Washington University. He is the author of so many books, so many articles. This guy is so smart, he frightens me. And he's my good friend, too. His new book is called Technology's Promise, and he's just a great resource for us. Bill Hallal, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's good to be here.
Hey, Bill, I know that you've been working on one of the things you work on is you take a look at a holistic approach to our world, not just technology. But you're interested in the interface of technology in the marketplace,
yes.
Human beings,
yes.
The planet, all that. You're interested in all of that, and it takes a mind your the size of yours to really be able to get all that. And the good thing I like about you though is you're able to take all of that and boil it down into terms that regular folks like me can understand.
I try to do.
Yes, exactly. And you've done a pretty good job because I stay with you most of the time. But recently you've been working on something. In fact, it was a recent newspaper publication. Was it Washington Post published this?
The Washington Post article,
yes. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah. Would you tell the audience the premise for the article and why you think these?
Well, we are in the midst of a technology revolution that is changing the world. In 10 years, it's going to be unrecognizable in many ways. All of the energy and climate change problems are going to be addressed seriously out of sheer necessity. In information technology, e-commerce is going to, I think, along with the Green Revolution, lead us out of this recession because e-commerce is exploding. We figure it's going to reach the 30% adoption levels.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, electronic education, entertainment, publishing, all of that is just taking off, especially in the developing world, India and China and
mm-hmm.
Brazil and all that. So the world is changing very dramatically. In 10 years, it'll be very different, I think.
And our challenge, and I think this is what you've been, one of the things you've been working on and been concerned about, our challenge is to make sure that that world, which, and it will be a new world, and I've been talking about this in my own remedial, elementary way, Bill. I've been telling my audience that whatever era we were in prior to 2009 is going to be an era that we will identify and we'll look back on. And after 2009, from 2010 forward, I think we're going to move into a new era, a new way of doing business, a new way of thinking about business. And I'm not saying 2010 is going to be a perfect model for that, but I think we'll look back and mark it as the beginning of that new era. And I think that's kind of what you're talking about, is it not?
Yes, I think so. I think the financial crisis was more than just a financial problem. I think it signaled, as you say, the end of an era. It highlighted the environmental problems as well, but mainly I think the way we approached economics. I think we saw in very vivid terms the results of excessive self-interest.
Greed.
Yes, markets that run amok, and there is a need now to rein in the market system and make it more responsive, transparent, productive, all of that sort of thing. And that's what we could talk about.
I would like to talk about that because you can't talk about any of that without talking about the impact and the potential for good or not of technology.
Well, the technology is certainly an important part of it, but I think the real big issue for business people is the model of business that we aspire to.
You've got some ideas on that. Tell us about that.
Yes. Well, I have this little piece, this little op-ed called Business Collaboration Could Transform the Economy. And I think my colleague and I have tried to address what I think is the pivotal issue. It's the profit-centered model of business, which made perfect sense for the last 100 years because that was an industrial economy, mm-hmm. and the focus was on building the physical infrastructure, you know, plants, equipment, and all that. But now we're in a knowledge economy. Knowledge comes from people. And I think we're missing a great opportunity to collaborate with various stakeholders to create more value and to gain legitimacy for the enterprise. It's that simple. But it's an idea that really could transform business. It could make it legitimate and more productive and socially acceptable.
All right, now, before we go into a break, but before we do, you're saying the profit center model is passé. Give us the title of the new model that you're proposing.
I call it collaborative enterprise.
Collaborative enterprise model, not the profit center model. When we come back, I'm going to get Bill to tell us how the collaborative enterprise model pays the groceries. 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. A little bit of Chicago bringing us back. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out. Lots of stuff there. You got 1 minute. Actually, you got 5 seconds. We got something you can do there in 5 seconds. We got something you do in 1 minute, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 15 minutes. Whatever time you, however much time you have, whatever your topic is, whatever is bugging you, hurting you, whatever is painful or whatever you're excited about, under the small business sun, we have something that you can read or listen to. You can ask questions. You can subscribe. We'll follow you home with stuff, my newsletter, my blog, lots of stuff there. So check it out, smallbusinessadvocate.com. And don't forget, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Bill Hallow, William Hallow, folks, is with us. He's the author of Technology's Promise and one of the great thinkers that America has produced and a very valuable member of our brain trust. Bill, as we went to the break, collaborative enterprise model, is that what you called it?
That's right.
Okay, so folks, Bill says we need to go from the profit center model in our businesses to the collaborative enterprise model. Now, Bill, I know how the profit center model pays the rent and buys groceries and provides the baby with new shoes. I know how that works. And I also have been around long enough, and you've seen my gray hair, you know that I have, to know that there are flaws in that system. But how does the collaborative enterprise system put new shoes on the baby?
Well, it uses the American well-established practice of collaborating, what some people call co-opetition.
Right.
That is, you collaborate with everybody in sight, including your competitors, simply because it's a better way to create value and to make money.
As opposed to, all right, so, but how, but see, co-opetition works in the profit center model, too.
Well, but the profit center model is just a small part of this larger framework
when you
practice co-opetition. You are enhancing the interests of your partners as well. You're forming partners with employees, your suppliers, your customers. And so bringing them into the entrepreneurial process of problem solving to create value allows you to create more value for everybody, including the firm itself. The firm makes more money, and it also enhances the value for employees and the other stakeholders. It's a model that goes beyond the profit-centered model, but it doesn't negate that. It's, you know, we still have to make money. This just does more than that.
The profit-centered model, though, you're saying that instead of me looking at another company as my mortal enemy,
yeah,
look at them as a potential of being a partner.
Exactly.
But you're not denying the beauty of profits.
No.
You're not doing that at all.
I'm just saying we incorporate into that model and expand upon it so that we benefit society as a whole while we also make money for the firm.
Mm-hmm.
The employees are the most obvious place to start.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't treat employees as a cost. Treat them as partners, bringing them into the business, give them responsibility for some small hunk of the enterprise as a self-managed team. they will do a lot better, and you will make more money as a corporation.
Well, see, one of the things that's the incubator of what you're talking about. If what you're talking about becomes the future of capitalism, Bill, the incubator of that is called outsourcing. That's what small business owners, what everybody's doing, but small business owners are doing it like crazy. Instead of hiring all of the people that I need to do my job in my work in my company, I'm cooperating, I'm collaborating, I'm contracting with other companies to do my payroll, to do my web design, to do my shipping or whatever. That's all part of it. It's just a variation of what you're talking about. That's already happening. You're saying let's take that and put that on steroids.
Yeah, you could do it as insourcing as well. That is, you could do the same thing mm-hmm. with your employees. Just make them partners. Give them responsibility for the hunk of the firm, a small profit center or something, as a team, ideally.
Yeah.
And reward them for performance. They will do a lot better job if they have a sense of ownership.
I will tell you this, Bill. I don't know whether your profit sharing model is the right one, but I will tell you this: with the younger generation coming along, they're going to want a different relationship than you and I demanded. Actually, when you and I came up, Bill, we weren't able to demand anything. We were just glad to have
a job. That's exactly
and
right.
We said we snapped our heels and said, "Yes, sir. What else can I do for you?" But these younger generations, they don't act like that.
Well, maybe. Let's talk about some specifics. Here's a great example. Nucor is the best steel mill in the world.
Yeah.
Just by far. And that's the essence of what they do. They make every mill, a small team of workers and managers. And it's based upon collaboration. They have all learned to work together very well. The performance of that mill beats anything else by a factor of two or three.
Mm-hmm.
And in turn, the employees get two or three times the ordinary wages that they would otherwise get. Everybody benefits.
Right.
See?
Is there a union in that shop?
I don't know. But if you have a union, it's probably not.
Probably not.
It's not an obstacle. Because, you know, Saturn did the same thing with unions.
Yeah.
That's not a good example, Bill,
because Saturn doesn't exist anymore.
I know that. I know that. It's too bad because, you know, that's a great irony. General Motors had the solution to its problems in Saturn about 15 or 20 years ago.
Right.
But it wasn't acceptable to the General mm-hmm. Motors culture,
yeah.
and they forced it out.
And see, that word culture... That's a big deal in what you're proposing, isn't it?
Exactly. It's the business culture that we have to change.
It's a huge deal. It's not only the one we have to change, it's something we have to pay attention to in what we're building. And we're going to talk about this some more with our good friend Bill Hallow. William Hallow, folks, is the author of Technology's Promise. It's a very important book it's big ideas that you and I, written in a way that you and I can understand. Tintel, stay with us. We'll be right back. Back at 7 till, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend William Hallow. William E. Hallow is the name on the book, Technology's Promise. Bill, give us your website. Tell us how we can find your book.
www.techcast.org, TECCAST.org.
Techcast.org. Tell us what we'll find when we get there.
Right. Well, that's the site where we do our forecast of emerging technology, and there's also a link to my publisher where you can buy the book.
Right. So check that out, folks, techcast.org,
Or you could go to my personal site, billhallow.com.
And that's H-A-L-A-L. So check those out, folks. And whatever Bill does is top shelf, and it's the best. Bill,
thank you, Jim.
Well, you know how I feel about you, Bill. You're a great mind, and we're fortunate to have your wisdom deposited with us over the years.
I'm glad to be here.
Let's talk about this collaborative enterprise model that you're talking about.
Right.
Tell us some more about it. How does technology work into that?
Well, I think technology is making this necessary because we now work in a knowledge economy instead of a industrial economy, capital-based mm-hmm. economy, and knowledge. Can be obtained from, really the most essential knowledge comes from stakeholders because they have a stake in your enterprise and they have the knowledge you need the employees have the knowledge that you need to run your business well. So you got to harness the knowledge from the employees and you put them to work. That's the heart of this idea. And customers have the knowledge that you need to succeed in the marketplace because they know what's wrong with your product or your service better than anybody else.
You know, Bill, your ideas, some people might say your ideas sound a little communal.
Well, it is.
A little utopian. Let's
talk about that. We could see this as moving towards what I call a corporate community, and I think there's nothing wrong with that. It's not.
But you know where they're
going to
go. But you know, Bill, where they're going to go from? They're not going to go from communal to community, Bill. They're going to go in another direction.
To what?
Well, they're going to say this is sort of like socialism. Or
no, it's not.
But I'm just saying that's what they're going to say. Some people are going
to
say that.
I think we have to recognize that that's one of the things that's changed in the world. We still want free markets. There's no question about that.
Markets are
the foundation of modern economies.
Thank you.
But to make markets work, we need cooperation as well. That is the next big change in economic affairs.
You know what you're going to have to, you know what you're going to have to do to accomplish what you're talking about? You're going to have to get rid of the quarterly guidance by corporations. Because in the model you're describing, if a company has to operate with fealty to a to a quarterly report to analysts, to stock analysts, in that environment, your model will not work.
No, I think it will, because it doesn't sacrifice profit making. That's the point.
Yeah.
You can think of it as a better way to make money.
But the more
we're not talking about social responsibility. I think that's a limited idea. It's not realistic, because nobody's going to voluntarily assume responsibilities without being rewarded.
Mm-hmm.
This is collaboration, problem solving to create value. And in the knowledge economy, that is the primary way we create value, by pooling knowledge. That creates value.
There's another element to this, Bill, you haven't brought up. I'm not saying you haven't thought about it, because you probably have, but it's something I think about all the time. And it goes back to the 19th century wisdom of one of my favorite comedian/economists, Frederick Bastiat. Bastiat said in approximately 1848, when goods cross borders, armies don't.
Oh, yeah.
In our global, interconnected, technologically interconnected economies, when goods, when knowledge, when cooperation crosses borders, armies don't. What you're talking about could create an incredible peace dividend.
I think the biggest thing to keep in mind here is that there is a business around the world has lost enormous legitimacy with this financial collapse. And I think we have to face the reality of forming a new model of business that recognizes the public good. And this is a way to do that without compromising the profit model. This is a better way to make money, but by bringing the interests of business into partnership with the enterprise. So there's nothing really sacrificed. It's just expanding the role of business into this, what is recognized now as the very nature of any enterprise.
But Bill,
let me just make this one point.
Okay.
Any enterprise is primarily a socio-economic system consisting of about five stakeholders:
mm-hmm.
the employees, customers, suppliers, and the public. And to optimize that entire system would be a wonderful challenge for business leaders.
I like your idea a lot, and I think there are elements are already in place to help accomplish this. But one thing it cannot happen for it to work is it cannot be organized and structured and directed by the government.
Oh, no,
it's got to be by the marketplace.
I think the chambers of commerce ought to be pushing this.
There you go. Chambers are my favorites. Hey, Bill, as always, you've made us think. Thank you so much for that.
It's been wonderful being
with you. We'll see you next time. Bill Hallal, ladies and gentlemen. Didn't I tell you we'd be smarter when Bill joined us? Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.